We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mr. College Football from the SEC Network, Tony Barnhart with the Bull and the Fox. Tony, how are you? How you doing, man?
We're okay. We're all hunkered down here in our little community outside of Atlanta, and everybody's healthy, and we're taking care of each other, so that's all good.
That's great to hear. Great to hear. And, you know, it's a crazy time. We don't know what the real calendars are going to be for any sports. Certainly basketball, baseball, hockey have been changed. And now people are kind of looking to football as well and say, you know, are they going to be affected? Nobody knows because this is right. There's no playbook here. But what are some of the potential pitfalls for college football specifically as we go on and on with this through the summer, you think, Tony?
Well, first of all, let's hit on your point and that nobody knows.
That's right.
Nobody knows. And what is going on now is conference commissioners and athletic directors are all meeting. Like, for example, the SEC athletic directors meet every single day by teleconference for an hour and a half just to update each other on what's going on. And what is happening now is contingency plans are being made, you know for a June 1 return, for a July 1 return, for an August 1 return, for a September 1 return. In other words, they're doing all of these plans, these contingency plans, and hoping someday they will get medical clearance. But right now, all you can do is plan for the date that happens. And the other thing you have to do if you're running a football program is you have to – I talked to Nick Saban last week. You have to keep engaged with your players using the technology that you can, because you're going to – at some point, the hope is you're going to get them ready. So it's all about planning. It's all about coming up with plans and then figuring out when the right time to implement those plans will be.
You know, Tony, you mentioned that Nick Saban and other coaches are trying to talk to their players. What can they talk to them about right now? They're just engaging with them, making sure they're okay? Are they allowed to give them workout programs? Again, a lot of these guys maybe not able to have a home gym or access to weights right now is of course, you want to make sure your guys are trying to stay in shape the best they can. I think that's got to be one of the biggest issues, don't you think?
Yeah, that and the academic side, because this is a real situation. If you don't stay on top of the academics, then even football comes back and you got guys who have fallen by the wayside academically. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things. I mean, the physical side of this thing is, yeah, it's a real issue, because a lot of these guys, just in my conversation with Nick Saban, a lot of these guys in their hometowns, the high school gym's not open because the school's closed. Right. Yep. And so they have sent them the bands that you use to stretch, to work out. In the case of Alabama, they gave their players Apple Watches so that the conditioning staff, a member of the conditioning staff, is sort of monitoring what they're doing. And so, yeah, it's a combination of physical well-being, academic well-being, and mental well-being. And they can meet with the players. Promise you guys, these 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, these coaches had never heard of Zoom, and now they're using it every day.
We're talking with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football from the SEC Network. Tony, again, as we've mentioned, there's no playbook here, but there has been some thought about, hey, would it be possible, if necessary, to push college football back to play in the spring even? How realistic do you think that could be?
I think it's certainly more than 50-50. We're in a situation now. I mean, a lot of things would have to line up right. In other words, you'd have to have complete medical clearance. Yep. You'd have to have complete assurances that the players are safe. So you almost got to have a vaccine to make it work. But the issue is they're trying to say, hey, we got to think outside the box, because there's a lot of people want to play football, and there's the financial component to this thing, because without a year of football, the financial consequences to these athletic departments with these $150 million budgets are dire. Yep. So that's not the only reason you play it, but that is a factor. Is it possible to play in the spring? Yeah, but I wouldn't put it, in my opinion, until I get more information, I wouldn't put it past 50-50.
Tony, you think if it were to come back, I mean, they're planning on the NFL coming back as normal. I don't know if they're planning to have fans or not. I think that's kind of unlikely at this point, but who the heck knows? How bizarre would it be, and is it possible to play college football in these huge stadiums with no fans? It'd almost be like a scrimmage watching these guys play. And is that something that the commissioners, athletic directors are open to?
I think you have to be open for everything right now. You have to real, as you said, there's no playbook for this. You've got to be willing to think outside the box and do what you can to get the football season. It could be when all is said and done. You know what, guys? The we have a plan. We've gotten the all clear, but the risk element is just we don't have enough information yet to do it. Mm-hmm. But what you've got to do is leave yourself open for every possibility. And when the time comes, hopefully the time comes that they give the medical all clear, then you can implement the plan.
We're talking with Tony Barnhart, SEC Network. Tony, the NFL is moving forward with the draft. We are selfishly, and a lot of fans selfishly, excited about that. There are challenges from the GMs, but they got to suck it up and deal with it, just like the rest of us are adjusting to our lives in this situation. One of the challenges, though, is for some of these players who are dealing with injuries and that maybe teams feel like they don't have full medical evaluation. And let's start with one of those big guys, and that's Tua. You mentioned Alabama. You know, first of all, you know, he's had a number of injuries, but he's also an extremely talented player. What do you think is going to happen with him? And if he stays healthy, do you think he will end up being better than Joe Burrow?
The last part I'm not sure about, because Joe Burrow just gave us one of the greatest college football seasons I've ever seen, and I've been doing this a long time. The thing about Tua is that but the more and more people you talk to, the better Tua's situation seems to be. I mean, I was watching on TV. Where was I? I was at the Georgia-Auburn game when Tua got hurt against Mississippi State. And, boy, you just wonder if he could come back from that. But all the medical reports have been good. The throwing has been good. I wish he would have had a chance to do pro day on campus at Alabama. But you look at his potential and you look at what he did in college, and he is going to be a great player. I still think Joe Burrow is going to get picked ahead of him.
Yep.
But projections I've seen have him at 5, and given how horrific that hip injury was, that would be an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering if he hadn't had the hip injury, would it be a much more of a discussion as to who'd be the number one overall pick between Tua? Because obviously, when he was healthy, my goodness, one of the best deep balls you'll see in college football. He's a lefty, which people love that, of course. So, I guess if he didn't have the injury, where would you put it?
I would probably put him ahead of Burrow, even though Burrow was just absolutely incredible. But the other thing you got to consider with Tua is he had the best collection of wide receivers I've ever seen on one team. And when draft day comes along, everybody's going to be aware at how good those guys were. But no, Tua is one of the most instinctive throwers, and he throws a deep ball that he's good as anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Throwing the deep ball on the right and throwing with timing. But he's done it ever since he got there as a freshman. So if he can stay healthy, some team's going to make he's going to make some team really, really happy.
We're talking with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart of the SEC Network. Tony, the Browns are picking 10th in the draft this year, and their biggest need is left tackle. Obviously, it doesn't guarantee they'll draft a left tackle, but there's four guys that have been mentioned, two SEC guys, obviously Jedrick Willis and Andrew Thomas, but also Tristan Wirfs from Iowa and Mekhi Becton from Louisville. When you look at this group of top offensive linemen, the Browns probably won't have their choice of all four, because at least one or two, maybe three, maybe even four will go before them. But how do they line up for you?
The kid from Georgia, Andrew Thomas, is absolutely unbelievable. And I cover the SEC and I pay more attention to those guys than others.
Sure.
But this guy, week after week after week, just continued to impress. I think he and Becton are probably the best offensive linemen that I see on the board. But if I had a choice, I'm sure Becton's really good, but you consider who Andrew Thomas has played against, I would tend to go with him.
Tony, how much do you cover the rest of the conferences? I mean, I know you're obviously in the SEC a lot, but do you cover a lot of the other conferences as well?
Only from reading and talking to other people. In terms of going to games and doing scouting stuff, I'm strictly with the SEC network.
All right, we'll stay SEC then. So let me ask you this. Outside of Joe Burrow and quarterbacks, who's the best player in that conference coming out in this draft?
Oh, if you take away Joe Burrow, you take away the quarterbacks?
Yep, no quarterbacks.
Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. He has incredible speed, incredible hands, and he's one of those guys that is going full speed after he takes about three or four steps. Mm-hmm, this guy is an incredible and Henry Ruggs, his teammate, is an incredible player. The best running back on the board, guys, is DeAndre Swift from Georgia. This guy is going to be a great, great pro.
We're talking with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. It's interesting, you know, you talk about DeAndre Swift and running backs in general. You know, we see them, you know, more often than not with Barkley and a couple of others, but so often you get good value on running back now because guys that used to be first-round picks go in the second round and
right.
so on and so forth. Do you look at him as being the next elite running back in the NFL?
I think so, because he's got the combination of speed and power and the ability to catch the ball, which is so important in the NFL. But I'm sitting here looking at this list from Mel Kiper. He's got him at 17 among his top 25 players. That's not bad at all. And I haven't seen a running back as complete for anywhere else as Swift.
Obviously, we have here in Cleveland Nick Chubb from Georgia. Did you think Nick Chubb would be this good? Would you think he would be this good as a pro this soon?
Well, if you would have told me when he got hurt, the day he got hurt, because I remember watching, and I didn't think he would be able to come back fully and be 100% from that injury. Well, he did. He did. He was as good as he ever was. But no, I had no doubt at all that Nick Chubb would be a good pro, because he is one of the most toughest instinctual runners that I've ever seen. So I am not surprised at all about that.
Tony, I don't know how much, you know, if at all, you're watching him play for the Browns, but he is so impressive because, you know, we're watching him every week. Not only toughness is the perfect word, because he runs with as much toughness as any running back in the NFL. By all accounts, is a great human being, very humble. I mean, this guy is all that's right about professional sports.
Well, and he goes back to his hometown and does incredible work, does incredible community service. And, you know, I just remember when he got hurt, people were telling me nothing. They said, if anybody can come back from that kind of injury, it's going to be Nick Chubb. And when he came back, I didn't see any way he could be 100% again. He'd still be really good, but I didn't think he could be 100%, and I was wrong. He was absolutely as good as he ever was.
Tony Barnhart is with us, Mr. College Football, covers the SEC, SEC Network. You can find him all over. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mr. CFB. Tony, this whole thing's unprecedented. We know that. We started the interview talking about how coaches are adapting daily to, you know, Zoom conferencing and, you know, FaceTime and all this stuff. Is there any team – I mean, like Nick Saban always seems like he has an advantage. It's almost kind of like a Bill Belichick to some degree. When this is all said and done, not to make light of the situation, but are there any teams, you know, that are more – profound to technology that could maybe use this to their advantage?
Well, here was the thing. Nick Saban not only got ahead of everybody on the technological side, his training staff said, "Coach, let's give every guy an Apple Watch so we can monitor their heart rate and their exercise habits and all that." And Saban went, "Okay, let's do it." And all of a sudden, we got all these coaches that are complaining about them doing that. And what they're mad about is they didn't think of it first.
Right.
Saban is the guy. Why do teams now have 8 or 9 analysts on their coaching staff? Because Nick Saban thought of it first, and that is something you've got to admire about that guy. He's always thinking a step or two ahead. He was the first one to start doing the recruiting calls by Skype. I mean, that's just the way he's like Belichick. He's the let's figure out what we can do. What does the rule say we can do? And we go right up to the edge.
We're talking with Tony Barnhart of the SEC Network, Mr. College Football. Tony, you know, you talked about Andrew Thomas and who he has to go up against, and you just talked about Alabama there. You know, last week we had Terrell Lewis on with us. And tomorrow, Anfernee Jennings is coming on with us. Two of those really good defensive linemen, or, you know, front seven he's had to deal with and others have had to deal with. Give me, if you could, give us some thoughts on those two guys, especially Jennings, who's going to be on with us tomorrow.
Jennings, I've been very impressed with all year. Just incredible quickness. And the thing about it is, in this particularly in the game, the way it's played now, the quickness, it puts a premium on quickness. So I think Jennings is a great, great player.
Hey, Tony, just back to your point, I was going to follow up with you on the technology. So, like, my nephew's getting recruited right now, and so I'm following his process. He's got a 15, you know, Power 5 offers. And last night he had a virtual tour of Rutgers. It was a three-hour presentation. He's on he's on a conference call with Greg Schiano. And, like, I'm watching this. I'm like, this is 2020. This is what we're down to with college football and recruiting. It's absolutely wild. You know, when I went through it, you know, you're on camp. Obviously, most people went through this process. You're on campus. You get to visit. Nowadays, I mean, kids have to make decisions on where they're going to go to school based off of virtual reality. What a time to be alive, Tony Barnhart.
Well, and here's the question, guys. Hopefully someday when this is all over, does it change the way college football goes about its business? Do we really need to get on a plane and go see this guy? Okay.
Right.
Or do we need to go see 100 guys? Maybe we only need to see 50 guys, and the other ones we can do by virtual tours because the technology is so great. You know, I'm going to be fascinated. I'm looking forward to the day this is all over and we're playing again. But what I really wonder about now is what's going to be different and what's going to stay different because we live through this.
Yeah, and I don't think that's just college football, Tony, right? It's all sports. It's all walks of
Absolutely.
Life. I mean, right? A lot is going to change, I think.
Well, I told somebody yesterday, I said, think about this. You know, hopefully they give the all clear and everything's okay. But if you're a college football fan, are you going to hesitate to go back into a 90,000-seat
yes.
stadium that's jammed? Oh, yes. Psychologically.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
intellectually, they've given you the all clear. Psychologically, are you going to walk back into that stadium first time? Just like, you know, I remember getting back on a plane for the first time after 9/11. It was nerve-wracking. I'm here to tell you.
Tony, you know how crazy those Alabama fans are. They'll be that back in a heartbeat.
God bless them. I'm looking forward to that day.
Tony, we appreciate it, man. Great insight. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
Okay, guys.
Stay safe. Tony Barnhart.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.